And welcome to the very first episode of In Phase, the Cycle Syncing podcast. I'm Robin.
And I'm Lauren. And In Phase is a podcast, a space, and a community for all women who are embracing all phases of their bodies, their cycles, and their lives.
For those of you who don't know what cycle syncing is, we oftentimes, when we're talking about it, get the reaction that it is, oh, when many women are together and they line up and they, when they're together a lot, they have the same menstrual cycle. Close, actually not close at all.
Simply wrong.
No.
Actually, that's okay.
Cycle syncing is an opportunity for women at a very broad level to take advantage of biohacking their bodies and optimize in a way that we never knew possible. Or many people did, but we are now just learning about it and we want to take advantage of it.
Yeah. I learned about cycle syncing like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember first reading about it and being pissed
yep.
that no one had told me any of this information before. It just felt sort of like, as women, we should know more about our bodies, but for some reason, this wasn't accessible for whatever reason.
We've been taught since growing up that periods are something to be ashamed of, mm-hmm. something to hide, and something not to talk about. And in being taught that from a very young age and taught that we should stick our tampons up our sleeves in middle school when we have to go to the bathroom to change them, or that we shouldn't talk about them with boys, or it's gross or it's dirty, we have really cut ourselves off at the knees with gaining the education and the knowledge and the access to the opportunity to lean into the magic that is these four menstrual phases and how different we are in each one of them and what we can do to help ourselves in every single one, whether that is eating, whether it's sleeping, whether it's the way you work, the way you have sex, the mm-hmm. way you sleep, the way you exercise. By definition, for those of you who don't know, because many people don't, which is why we wanted to start this podcast as a space for education and conversation around it. We are not experts. We are learners.
Yeah, we are very curious. And our instinct is that if we are curious, we assume that other people are too. And so we just want to create a space that we can bring other people onto this journey that we're also on.
Let's all get together. Let's giggle. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And let's take advantage of it rather than be afraid of it every single month. So cycle syncing, by definition, is the practice of tailoring your lifestyle to the four phases of the menstrual cycle. For those of you who don't know, that's menstruation, follicular, ovulatory, and luteal. It involves adjusting daily habits like diet, exercise, and sleep at a very high level, but there's so many more, to align with the different phases of the menstrual cycle.
Exactly. So it's the idea of like not only tracking when your period's going to come, but also tracking what phases we're in when it comes to the full cycle. And then understanding like what should I be eating, sleeping, doing to better optimize our bodies for what's happening hormonally.
100%. And one thing to keep in mind that I think was like a light bulb moment for me when I first started learning about this is that we are, based on this hormonal fluctuation that we experience in our 28-day cycle, we are essentially, as women, a different person every week of the month. You are a different person emotionally and physically when you're menstruating. You're a different person emotionally, physically, sexually when you're ovulating, in your follicular phase as well, and in your luteal phase. Luteal phase is basically what most people equate to PMS, even mm-hmm. though it's so much deeper than that. And I think that was one of the realizations, luteal in general, that gave me so much like acceptance for myself and my body and like allowed me to let go of a lot of these preconceived notions. Like, why am I fucking crazy the week yes. before my period? Or I'm such a bitch, or I'm I'm crying all the time and I don't know why, or I'm fat, I'm bloated, I can't get up, I can't go to my workouts. And it's like, oh, no, you just have like your hormonal levels are like through the ground right now. You need to sleep. You need to rest. You need to not wear tight clothes. You need to not step on that scale, sister.
Yes. And it's normal.
Yes.
And it's totally normal. And actually, it is to be expected that yes. we should feel this way. Like, I so agree. Like, I remember just having so much more grace for myself for being like, oh, this is why I feel this way.
Yes.
Or the idea of like, learning about how when you're in your ovulation phase, how you usually have like a lot more energy and you're excited. And so you might be making plans. But if you make plans for when you're in luteal phase, you might get to luteal phase and then not want to see a soul. And that to me is like the story of my
100%.
Life.
Like, this is a space for women to realize, like, oh, why you woke up on a certain Wednesday and wanted to make happy hour plans with everyone you haven't seen in 16 years. And then 2 weeks later, when those plans come around, you want to kill yourself.
Yes.
Because you made them when you were ovulating, and you have to exercise them when you're in luteal phase. Bad, bad move.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also like studies around how you should be scheduling your meetings, like whether you should be ideating during ovulation or you should be planning and like focusing on like logistics and details during your luteal phase.
Yes.
Like, we're different. And the work schedule in America, capitalism, the patriarchy, has been built around the circadian rhythm and hormonal cycle of a man, which resets every 24 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the same all day, every day, in and out. Women are different.
Yep.
And when you and I started talking about this and embracing the fact and acknowledging the fact that we are different, and getting to dive into all of the education and all of the resources around those differences, it's like the world cracked open.
100%. It literally, it felt like we were like giving the keys to be able to like, to live a more efficient and just like more thoughtful life.
And more badass.
Yeah.
Hotter, healthier,
yeah.
happier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so much nicer to myself,
yes.
now that I'm cycle syncing. Yep. I give myself so much more grace. And I'm just kinder to my body. And I'm more appreciative of it too.
Agree. Totally agree. I think it's like, I feel like I remember when we were both sitting down talking about cycle syncing. We were both like geeking out because we didn't know that each other were like really into it.
Yes.
And I think the words we kept saying were like, we are superheroes.
We
Our bodies are unbelievable.
Isn't this insane? And we're like, why did no one tell us about this?
Yeah.
How come no one is talking about this? How come the internet is not up in arms about the fact that this exists for us?
Right. Right.
Which, like, we know why.
Right.
The man want to keep us down. But truly, it is, it's such a gift and it's such a privilege to be able to have access to the information. And I think when you and I were talking about it, we were like, how do we spread the good gospel?
Yes.
How do we open up the conversation around this and like broaden the reach of it? Because once you and I sat down and talked about it, it was like, it's like our kink at that time. It
yeah,
was like
totally.
our passion project. It was our hobby was cycle syncing. And it still is, and which is why we want to do this. But I would talk to other women about it, all our friends, or whether it's like sisters, aunts, and whatnot. I would say like maybe 10 to 15% of the people that I spoke to about it knew what it was.
Totally.
It's becoming more mainstream now. Like,
yep.
there's so many apps for it. Aloe Yoga is doing like workouts sponsored by your phases.
Yes.
It's becoming more of a mainstream conversation. But like, we want to push that conversation further and faster and bring people along with it.
Exactly. And I think to that point too, it's like, we're just endlessly curious about it.
Yes.
And we're not experts, but we want to learn more. And so we're like, as we're learning too and asking the questions, like, let's just bring other people along with us. And so like, that's the whole goal of this
yeah.
space is that like, we'll talk about it, we'll ask questions, like, and then we could all sort of like figure this out together.
Exactly. So we're very excited to be here. We're very excited to be kicking this off. In phase is something that Lauren and I have been working on for the last year and a half and are so stoked to bring it to life and birth it out into this world. So obviously everyone here is new to In Phase, as this is our first inaugural episode, quite possibly new to cycle syncing as well. So welcome. We're excited to have you, and new to us, obviously. So quick intros and give you guys a little bit of background about who you're talking to or who you're listening to, better spoken. But my name is Robin. I am 34 years old. I am originally from Wisconsin, and I now live in Los Angeles, California, and I just have a giant affinity and passion for being a woman.
Yeah.
And this all falls into that, and I think there's this, like, innate curiosity also about just, like, wellness in general, obviously. Being in LA, obviously, we're falling into that, like, woo-woo trap a little bit. Rest assured, this is not a pipeline to a Maha podcast. You are safe here.
But you never know.
No, don't even.
LA is a crazy place.
Sarah's going to be like, all right, so you should be cycle syncing, and don't you dare touch a vaccine, okay? You know what really fucks up your period? Pfizer. No,
oh
but Lauren and I have been friends for a long time and sat down truly just like over a glass of wine and like we're catching up after not seeing each other for a while and realized that we were both obsessed with this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Full time during the day. I am a marketing executive in entertainment marketing in Hollywood. love my life here. And I have a great friend in Lauren who I'll let her give a little bit of background about herself as well.
Yeah. So I'm Lauren. I'm from the Boston. Well, I was born in New York, raised outside of Boston.
You were born in New York?
Yeah, I was born in Brooklyn.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I sometimes have a hard time like feeling like I'm allowed to claim it because we moved when I was so young.
No.
Recently, I've been trying to claim it more.
Are you? I would have that on a shirt if I was born in Brooklyn.
I know. It's really cool.
You know how much cooler that is than I'm from Wisconsin? I would love to say I was from Brooklyn.
I think, well, Wisconsin's still cool, but yeah, I was born in Brooklyn.
Depending on who you talk to. I love Wisconsin. So shout out to everyone from Madison.
We moved south of Boston when I was like 5.
I mean, that's also very cool. The Town. Has anyone ever seen that? Best movie that's ever been created.
Yeah, we love our donkeys. I love our donkeys. Spent most of my time on the East Coast and then moved to LA, I guess 11 years ago now, which
you've
is
got
wild.
Me beat. So many people come to LA and they're like, I'm going to be here for a year and then I'm fucking out of here, which I completely get.
I moved to LA and I'll never forget. I signed my first car lease, my first 3-year car lease. And I said, this is the only car lease I will ever sign in my entire life.
Because I was like, because you didn't want to lease a car or because you wanted to get out of LA?
Because I was like, there's no way I'll be in LA for more than 3 years.
I thought you just had like anti-car lease. I was like, I don't know. I get that. I guess if some people are more into ownership for sure.
No. I was like, there's no way I will be in Los Angeles after 3 years.
I felt the exact same way. I moved out here for a job. And on the interview, they said, how do you feel about moving to LA? And I said, not good.
Yeah.
Literally, that was my response. I said, not good.
Yep.
Can I do this job? At the time, I was trying to move to either New York or San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be a Brooklyn girl. I wanted to be you at birth.
Well, and I wanted to move back to New York at some point because I never lived there as an adult.
Yep.
Or I also love San Francisco. That was like another city that I was looking at. I know, right? Well, because also San Francisco, this is a total sidebar, but to me, San Francisco is like a European East Coast city.
Really?
Oh, to me, 100%. It reminds me of an East Coast city in regards to like density and neighborhoods.
I guess that's true. It's like giving a little bit of Copenhagen.
Yes. It aesthetically has like a sort of like European vibe to me. But like when I first went to San Francisco, it felt so familiar being an East Coaster.
Okay.
Whereas like LA, when I first got to LA, I was like, this place is garbage.
So I had never been here before I moved here.
Whoa.
Quite literally. And I hopped off that plane at LAX with a song in my cardigan. What is the lyrics?
My jeans
in my cardigan. I hopped off the plane with a cardigan and
the dream with my jeans.
I also had my jeans and a cardigan and a lot of excess baggage fees because I was straight up moving here like sight unseen. And if anyone has ever been to LAX, it is
terrible.
A hellhole. I was walking out of the terminal to go to baggage claim. There's wires coming out of the ceiling. They're sparking. It looks like I'm walking into the apocalypse. I truly was like, what have I done? I almost started crying on the spot.
Ugh.
And I thought I was like, I'm going to come out here for 2 years. I had never had an interest in like the LA lifestyle. I thought it was very like materialistic and a lot of people like trying to get Instagram famous type stuff. It's like, I'm going to do this for 2 years and I'm going to go back to Minnesota, where I was living at the time. Also a great city. State. I want to kill myself for saying that. Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I was going to go back to Minnesota and I was going to take the advertising world by storm.
Let's
back
go.
There. I was going to maybe be a director of Target.
Ooh, Target. Yep. My mom.
Headquartered there. And then within 2 weeks, I was like, oh, shit. I really love it here.
Really?
It took me living in LA for 2 weeks before I was like, I am an LA girl.
Whoa.
Much to my chagrin.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate to say it.
Was there like a particular moment or like a thing that sort of like made it click for you?
No, not really. Like I remember I was, my company that hired me and brought me out here put me up in like corporate housing.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's familiar with LA, this corporate housing is by the Grove, which is this like big fancy outdoor mall kind of in like, it's in West Hollywood. And I didn't have any friends here. I didn't know anyone when I moved here. So I would just spend my days before I was starting work, I would just walk around and I was just in awe. Like, I don't know what it was. It's a really, West Hollywood is such a cool neighborhood. Like, there's so many shops, restaurants, bars. I stumbled into Erewhon on my very first walk.
It's a dreamy place.
And It is and it isn't. If you're a Midwest girl who's 25 and who has a budget, I walked in there. I was like, why is this salsa $14? Pace in Madison is three.
Yeah, yeah.
But truly, like, it was an eye-opening experience. I don't know what it was. I just, like, really, really loved it off the jump. And I didn't expect to at all. And now it is my forever home, unless I change my mind in, like, a fit of rage or, like, a fit of luteal phase next month and decide to, like, jump ship. But I love it. Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right?
I feel like it takes most people a lot longer to love it.
That's what I've heard from people. It's like, I don't know if it's LA specific. Drop your thoughts in the comments. Or if it's New York, like New York or big city or big change in general. But I've heard that, like, you need to give a place 2 years in order to feel community and feel the space. And I don't know what it was, but I also joined a company that was, like, young and very progressive, and, like, everyone was a transplant for the most part. So like, there was a like an ingrained community that was very welcoming, and, like, people became friends. But, like, it was slow going. I had never been in a place in life, either as an adolescent or as an adult, where I was like, I have no friends.
Yeah,
I remember people at work would be like, what are you up to this week? And I was like, I don't know anyone here.
Yeah.
walking around, stumbling into Erewhon alone.
That's amazing, though, to move for a job and, like, not know anyone.
Yeah.
That's very bold.
Yeah, I knew one person who lived in, I think, like, Orange County from high school, and she would occasionally drive up here and be like, I'm going to introduce you to the Rosewell Flea Market or what Poke Bowls are. I, like, have these specific memories. And I was like, fucking sick. Poke Bowls. I got my first parking ticket the first weekend outside of a Poke Bowl restaurant. I was like, I'm here, baby.
I love it. See, I first moved. I lived in L.A. between my junior and senior year. Mm-hmm. During summer, because I got an internship out here, and I'll never forget, my brother was living out here because he had just gotten a job in LA.
Yeah.
And he picked me up from the airport, and he was like, Lauren, I'm going to show you all the things that, like, you think LA is, because it's all shitty, and you're just going to get it out of the way.
Okay, wait, let me guess. Hollywood, the Walk of Fame, Hollywood Boulevard.
Ding, ding, ding.
Don't ever do that.
It's terrible.
If you think that when you're coming to LA, you're like, I want to see the Walk of Stars. Let me tell you, no, you don't. No, you don't. You
it's
don't want to.
It's so stinky.
It's so sad. It's so dirty. And it's also occasionally so dangerous.
It's absolute chaos. It's absolute chaos.
Okay, wait, the next one. And I'm saying this because this is what my brother wanted to do when the first time he came to LA. Was it Venice Beach?
I think we did Venice the next day.
Okay, Muscle Beach at, like, Venice Beach is another big one that people want to go to. That one I can get on board with more than the Walk of the Stars.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So what were the other ones?
He went to the Walk of Fame. We went to Mel's Drive-In.
Okay, I have never been to Mel's Drive-In, by the way.
It's actually kind of a little bit of a vibe, TBH. And then we did something else in the middle of Hollywood. And
is it the Hollywood sign?
Maybe we drove past the Hollywood sign.
That is, I'm not going to lie, also pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
The Hollywood sign stands up. Like, that's cool.
But I remember him saying, he was like, before we even get to where your apartment is, we're just going to do that now.
Let's check it off.
Just so that, like,
you did it.
Yeah, you get to, like, sort of, like, see what the vibe of the city is.
Okay.
Which for me was really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I think also for me, like, it took me a really long time to like LA.
Okay.
And I still don't love LA.
I know that to be true.
I like want to, but I also think for me, it's honestly a little bit of, like, just the East Coast city mentality.
Yeah.
Where I think I went in expecting something so specific of LA and, like, expecting to be able to, like, walk around and hop on the subway and just, like, have the city experience that I always knew to be true in every other city. That when I got to LA, I had such a hard time separating expectations from what the reality of the situation was. And I had to learn how to, like, let go of that. And it wasn't until then that I actually was able to appreciate
it. It is so different. So different than any city with, like, mass transit, subway. Like, if you're trying to replicate an experience that you had in New York or Chicago or Boston or even San Francisco in LA, you're going to wind up disappointed.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who loves New York. I'm going to New York tomorrow at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Why do we continue to book these flights? I'm leaving the house from at 4 a.m. for a 6 a.m. flight. And every time I book these flights, I'm like, oh, I'll for sure save myself $200. I'm an early morning person anyway. It's not a big deal. No, huge deal.
No.
When you're setting your alarm for 3:30 the night before, this is not worth the $200.
The threes should be forbidden. Like, our phones should just, like, shut off. 100, be like, I'm sorry. The alarm in the three.
Cannot make an alarm that early.
Like, no.
I won't.
Yeah, I'm going to punish you.
I won't.
It's a really terrible situation.
I don't know, like, why am I doing this? But I am going to New York, which I'm very excited about, because it is my favorite city.
It's the best.
Favorite. I love living in LA, but I do wish that I had had a New York moment in my 20s.
Yeah.
Like, I, like, wanted to be, like, Carrie Bradshaw.
Totally.
Now, I, like, don't get it twisted. On a rewatch of Sex and the City, you couldn't pay me to be Carrie. I think she's the worst character known to man. She's a terrible friend and a terrible human.
She's so obsessed with herself.
She is the worst friend ever.
She's so obsessed with herself.
Anyone who watches this back, I would like to do an entire episode around Sex and the City. Yeah. And maybe we can equate each woman to a different menstrual, a different hormonal cycle.
This is a great idea.
Yes. Well, and do this. But if you watch it back now, you'll notice that anytime a friend of like brings her a question or a problem about her life, she'll respond with something about hers. Charlotte will be like, I haven't had sex on my honeymoon. I've been married for 7 months. She's like, well, Aiden didn't come over for pancakes this weekend. And it's like, fuck you.
It's always about her.
100%.
No, it's so true. It's so true.
Yeah. But I did, when I was younger, I wanted that, like, life. I was like, I want to go be a single girl in New York City. I want to go out and date all the men and write all the little Vogue articles.
Yes,
and
yes.
I wound up in LA doing a podcast about periods.
And
so
here we are. I keep trying to leave LA and somehow I'm still freaking here. So,
well, when do you try to leave LA? Every month.
I try to leave every month 2 days before my period.
So if you ever, we'll talk about this later in another episodes as well. Yep. But if you ever feel the innate need to just get up and burn your entire world to the ground, leave your husband, leave your life and get the fuck out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. And it happens to fall on the 30th day of your cycle every month. We can talk about that. We can explain that.
And it's normal. It's normal.
And
it happens
okay.
to a lot of us, actually. So you're not alone.
you ever feel like your partner breathes wrong for about 2 days out of the month and you're ready to punch them in the face?
Yep.
Or go to jail for it? I don't care.
Yep.
My partner says one thing the wrong way or like makes an egg where like yolk isn't runny enough. And I'm like, I can't handle it. No. Then the other 28 days, I'm like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
But those one or 2 days when I'm deep in luteal, I want to die.
100%.
I want to die and I want to take you with me.
Yeah. There's like always 2 days before my period where I'm like, I was never meant to have a partner. I love this man to death, but I was meant to be single because if one person even comes close to me, they're gonna no longer be on this planet. Fully. Every single month.
And meanwhile, you're sitting here saying, like, I was meant to be single as you're 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. To, like, the most wonderful person I've ever met in my life who I, like, want to spend every single day with. But there's always one day a month where I'm like, I swear to God, you just entering the bathroom. Like, it's always, like, I'm straightening my hair. And he'll walk into the bathroom to, like, ask me a thoughtful question. Be like, Lauren, what can I make you for dinner? And I'm furious at the fact that he would even consider opening the bathroom door when I'm doing my hair.
How dare you fucking exist?
How dare you?
What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my fucking house?
100%.
Who invited you here?
No, last month, I looked around at my house and I looked at Harrison and I was like, could I afford this place on my own? He'd done nothing wrong. He probably like didn't put an ice cube in the water that he so lovingly brought me. And all of a sudden, my wheels are turning. I'm like, what would it look like if I lived alone in this house? And
that's
then it's truly
so real.
You get your period, and then all of a sudden it normalizes. And you're like, I feel like a weight has been lifted. And then the next month, you're confused as to why you feel that way again. I'm sick of people being confused.
Yes.
I'm sick of women being confused. I'm sick of women being like, why did I have so many cravings? And then, oh, all of a sudden I get it.
Yes.
It's like, we hear so much, or there's so many memes about it. It's like, why was I a raging asshole for 3 days? It's like, I'm tired of those memes. We know enough now. Now we don't have to make fun of ourselves. It's funny. 100%. The divorce conversation is funny every time. Last month, I texted Lauren and I go, hey, just quick question out of nowhere. But do you ever want a divorce when you're in your luteal phase? And I'm holding my phone. I'm like, please let her say yes. Please let her say yes. Please let her say yes. Because if she says no, I'm like, I really need to rethink this.
Yeah,
she's like,
yeah.
Every time. I was like, okay.
So once a month, baby.
You're not alone. You're not alone. And we want to bring people into this conversation. And also, like, when you want to make all of those plans when you're ovulating, when you, like, wake up on the seventh day of your cycle and you're like, I could tackle the world. I could run a marathon today. I could honestly run for president.
Yeah.
I could run for president and then do 3 Barry's classes back to back and no one's going to stop me.
100%.
I'm going to write a thesis in Spanish.
Yes.
Okay? and then in French, and then I'm gonna do it again.
Exactly, exactly.
And then why, like, 14 days later, you, like, can't get out of bed, couldn't fathom going out for a drink after work.
Right, right. And it's a thing where it's, like, it's literally scientific.
Yes.
That's what I think is so amazing is, like, it's so hard to, like, have grace for all of these changes that we go through and to sort of be like, okay, why can't I be consistent?
Yeah.
Why am I changing? Or at least for me, that was this feeling of sort of, like, why is it that one day I'm feeling this way, the next day I can barely get out of bed.
Yes.
And what does that mean? And just the reminder of, like, no, our bodies are literally designed so that we're feeling this way.
Yes.
Or this, a symptom is that we're feeling this way. Just, like, was such a breath of fresh air and relief to be like, okay, this is normal. Now I know how to operate. And also I can just, like, love myself so much more.
There are so many elements of that I identify with. And thinking about, like, specifically around, like, being pissed at yourself for being lazy because your energy levels vary throughout the month is something that I feel like is so widely felt by women everywhere.
Yeah.
Or if you can't do a berries class every single day or an Orange Theory class or, like, running every day doesn't feel good to you. It feels great to you on some days. But, like, then if one day you're, like, really slow or really tired, you really beat yourself up. Like, that's what I want people to avoid and what I want women to know about so that they can embrace these fluctuations and be kinder to those their bodies in these moments. Because so often the expectation of us to be at an optimal level and be able to do these things every single day in the same way, it's built by men. These structures and these expectations, for instance, like an example is 75 hard, which a lot of people know about. It's 75 days where you do two workouts. One of them has to be outside, two workouts a day. One of them has to be outside, 45 minutes each. You do not drink alcohol. You do not, you have a very strict diet, et cetera, et cetera. Women should not be doing two workouts a day every day for 75 days in a row. Women should not be working out hard and doing cardio like that during their periods. When you're menstruating, you need to be resting. And you're in your luteal phase as well. Like, HIIT cardio is going to hurt your body. Mm-hmm. It's going to feel harder, and then you're going to feel like you are, like, incapable in these things. Men, again, they reset every 24 hours. They are capable. They're not – they are capable because we are capable as well.
Yeah.
But their bodies are okay and designed to do that.
Yes.
Ours aren't. So, right. Like, how do we then focus on optimizing for our bodies instead of just trying to mimic what was designed in this world by a patriarchal society?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's...
bring it back for the women!
Let's go. And that's basically what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And this podcast is, like, one piece of a larger mission that we have to start this conversation and to just make this information wildly available to everyone. And I think our first version of that is going to be us chatting every week, which I'm really pumped about.
So we're inviting people to come and hang out with us. We want this to feel like, honestly, just a conversation with friends every week, where you're getting to learn alongside of us. Because, again, we are not experts. We are continual learners about this as well. I mean, it's every other day that I'm sending Lauren a new Instagram infographic or meme or story about, like, a different nutritionist where is giving different information on what you can eat to optimize for each cycle or whatnot. Like, we are just geeked out by it and really love the idea of treating our bodies with the care and kindness that cycle syncing provides. And I think for anyone out there who has struggled with their periods or their cycles, who has had painful periods, who have gone through any specific trauma that has changed their periods, who maybe have PMDD or PCOS, is exploring getting off hormonal birth control and wants to know what that's like or what they should or shouldn't be doing. A lot of the conversation that I'm hearing around cycle syncing as of late as well has been people wanting to explore more holistic options for normalizing and making their periods and their cycles healthier. Because I think for so long, we were just, anytime we went to the doctor, we were just told, here, just go on the pill. That'll fix it.
Yep.
And we don't want that.
Right.
I don't want to be on hormonal birth control to cover up symptoms that I could get to the root cause of by really focusing on the syncing aspect and about optimizing my body in these different phases naturally.
Right. It's like, why put a Band-Aid on a thing when there's actually, like, a wound that could be healed?
Exactly.
And yeah, I totally resonate with that. And like I was diagnosed with PCOS a couple of years ago, which is also what sort of helped with the cycle syncing obsession, was sort of understanding, okay, if my hormones are not in balance, I need to know what they should be doing in an effort to get them balanced out. And so, like, I think also with the increase in PCOS too, this has become a larger conversation. And like selfishly, what's funny is like got super obsessed with cycle syncing, then I got pregnant, and now what?
Yep.
So also those conversations too of like, okay, as like we're also going through different phases of life and our different phases of our bodies, like where does cycle syncing fit in?
Yes.
And how do we take that information and continue to utilize it to optimize what our lives can look like?
And what is it? What does it mean for people who are pregnant or trying to get pregnant? What does it mean for people who are on birth control? Does this apply to people with IUDs, whether they be copper, non-hormonal, hormonal? Does it apply to people on the pill? Does it apply to people on the ring? I think like these are conversations that we want to have. And if it doesn't, then what can women be doing who are on birth control?
Exactly.
We want to have all these conversations. Our plan is to bring on guests who specialize in these spaces, whether it be nutritionists or gynecologists, doctors, health practitioners, anyone with perhaps a uterus or not, or a passion for helping women and the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so that's the goal, is that we'll have more conversations with experts, but then also we'll just talk a lot about periods, because that's also part of what we think is going to help change the conversation, is like make it a normal part of the conversation.
50% of the population has a period, and yet we are so afraid to talk about them. Let's start chatting about them. So excited to have you here. Excited that you tuned in for the first episode. Hopefully you will come back for the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and so on and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. We're fucking stoked.
Yeah, we're pumped. And so please like us on Instagram, subscribe to us across wherever you listen to your podcasts, and please subscribe on YouTube as well, because we'll be having the full video episodes there.
We are on all socials at InPhasePod. I am at Robin Dibovic on Instagram.
And I'm on at Lauren Cortizo. And
give us a follow. Give us a message. Let us know if this is resonating with you, and let us know what are the topics that you want to talk about, or what are the questions that you have. Because if you have them, I can guarantee you so many other women have them, and we probably have them too. So if you don't have anyone else to talk about it with, talk about it with us, and we'll bring people on here to talk about it with you as well.
Exactly. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.